Well, this morning we thought we'd do some repairs, so Scott got us, he's got us going.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good? All right. Cool, just testing it. Yeah, otherwise it's an awkward thing if it collapses and I'm on it. Well, this morning we are in our series, Real Relationships, having real relationships with one another. And I want to just take a couple moments to talk about a real relationship that's based on trust, and specifically our relationship with God, trusting God and his plans for our lives. So that's what we'll be looking at a little bit more. I want to talk about this ladder, though, because Scott set it up, so I feel like I need to use it now. No, we actually planned this. like, we're just going to roll with this. I don't know about you, but I'm not like a huge fan of ladders. I like it. This isn't so bad. I feel like it seems like okay. All right, we can do this. But ladders that are like two or three stories or something like that on the side of a house that's kind of like nailed in or whatever, they get me nervous. I want to ask, I'm kind of interactive a little bit sometimes. Does anyone love being on ladders? Like, you're just happy there. You're like, you can go up and just have fun. Yeah, your hand better be up. Yeah, a couple of people. Okay, is anyone ever like nervous going on like a ladder? Anyone? Oh, great, you guys relate. I am speaking to my people right now. Come on. Yeah, this is good. I'm glad for all the people that have strengths. That's awesome. But for the weaknesses, I connect with that. Yeah, when I think of ladders, I can get a little scary. I remember it was about a year ago. I was over in Canton. Two people that come here are contractors, Chad and Wyatt, and they invited me to go see a house they were working on that was beautiful, and they're up on a second-story porch, and they had this really tall ladder that they nailed in at the top, and they're like, just come up and check it out. And I'm like, come up and check it out? And like, Wyatt just goes up there. I'm pretty sure he can probably like juggle screwdrivers while going up a ladder. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, let's just take all the plywood. I know people actually can do that. But I was looking for any other option to get up this home. I'm like, if I can break in, go into the second story, looking for options. And then I thought about, I'm like, I wonder if Chad and Wyatt's wives know what they do for a living. Do they even care about their kids? This is incredibly dangerous. It's actually not. Nah, they nailed it in. But to me, it looks so scary because it's like it was a height and a ladder. And sometimes you're just like, oh, I don't know. I had some trust issues. I remember when I was in high school, I was working at a camp in New Hampshire called Camp Berea. And they had something called a blob and a blob tower. And you had to go up two sets of ladders and then jump off a tower onto like this piece of like plastic in the water. And I'm like, oh, who would ever do this? Maybe some of you are familiar with this. Anyone familiar with what's called a blob? There was only a couple. Okay, maybe like three. Yeah. So I guess this isn't our big thing around here. Yeah, so I don't know if maybe this is like, this looks so cool. Or maybe you're like, these people are needing more Jesus. I don't know. But yeah, so all you do is you come up this little ladder here, hang out here, go up this ladder, then you jump off. Right? Some of you are like, this looks like so much fun. You jump off onto this nice little pillow in the lake. You crawl down here. That's actually the hardest part of this, honestly, is trying to stay on. And then over here, you can't really tell there's actually someone seated. As someone hits the pillow with air, it then forces all of it to the end. The person goes flying. So if you can find somebody about three times your size to blob you, you can go as high as this tower. So this person will go all the way up here and then belly flop and look pink and beautiful for a while. But I looked at this for years and I was so nervous of it. I don't really like ladders. I don't really like heights. And the thing I really don't like is jumping off of things that are high. It seems stupid. But this is actually something they did for kids to either encourage people to come or eliminate them if they had too many of them. So people would jump off. And I was nervous because I had trust issues with the ladder. I saw that it was steel. It used to be wood. It was steel. People would go on it and live. And I was like, but still, for me, I was at a distance. And eventually, I did conquer those fears and go up. But I wanted to talk about trust. And I want to talk about trusting God. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're here and you've been coming for a while and you're like, yeah, I really do trust in God and that he has his best for me. But maybe you're here and you've been coming just a couple times or you're just exploring, who's this God person? Is he really trustworthy? If God was a ladder, which he's not a ladder, but if he was a ladder, you know, maybe you're from a distance taking a look at it. It's like, is it solid? Is it stable? Is it the real thing? If the Bible talks about putting my whole trust in the God, is he trustworthy? And I'm hoping just to bring a little clarity this morning, maybe for some as a reminder, we're going to look a little bit about who God is. Before we talk about trusting him, let's talk about the object or the person we're going to trust. And for others, maybe you don't know much about God. you're like, well, let's learn a little bit more. And I do want to make mention, if you're here and you're kind of on a pursuit of, I'm just open, I want to learn more about who God is and Jesus, there's Bibles in each of the rows of these chairs. We would encourage you as a gift, take a Bible home, read the Bible, get to learn more about who God is, because he is awesome. Amen? I'll just make that a slide. God is awesome. He truly is. I want to talk just about a couple attributes of God, the person we're looking to trust, who's trustworthy, before we talk about trusting him. A couple things I'll mention briefly before we go to our main passage. First thing is God is good. In Psalm 136:1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures, how long?
Forever.
Forever. Awesome. Thanks to the Lord. He is good. We have a good God. God is faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. Isn't that great? Meaning when we screw up, God doesn't bail on us. He remains faithful to us. We can falter, we can stumble, but God is faithful. God is loving. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4. A good God, a faithful God, a loving God. It talks about in 1 John how God is often referred to as a father. He's a good father. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Man, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful Father, especially once you get to know the kind of love he has for you. I just want to mention those couple characteristics. And then the last one, which is, I think, just so cool as well, all of them are, is God doesn't change. And that's incredibly beneficial for you and for me, because God's character is incredible. Who he is infinitely awesome. And it doesn't change. This blob tower that I had up here, which is pretty cool for some and scares other people, it used to be made out of wood. I don't know if that was a good idea, but they put wood in the water, and eventually, you know, you got to get rid of that. Eventually, they moved it to metal. They got a better version, one that could be moved easier and stronger and lighter. But God's not like that. You don't get like a version 2.0. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his love for you is consistent. And college students, for those who are moving into a new thing this summer, a new place in life, know that the same God is the same one that got you through college. It's the same one that will be with you in grad school. It's the same one that will be with you when you're going to work. The same one that will be with you in the unknown waiting period. And when you go on Facebook and see all your friends getting jobs and you don't have them yet, know that God is the same God who loves you in that moment. God doesn't change. So let's talk about trusting God and his plans for your life, which are good. Let's look at a passage in the Old Testament, the beginning portion of the Bible, called Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. And I want to highlight three things there this morning. So I'll have it right up on the screen. You can follow along if you like in a Bible, but I'll read it right from here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 12 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. And let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are an awesome God. God, we thank you that you are trustworthy. And Lord, I pray as we're looking at your word a little bit more, God, that we could trust you one step more, I would ask, God. Maybe three steps more. But God, I pray that we could trust you with everything we are. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about trusting God one step at a time. And three things I want to highlight from this passage, you'll see, and they're kind of little two-verse segments. The first thing is, if we're trusting in God, It, right at this passage, starts off trusting in God with all your heart. Trusting God with our heart, that we would be all in. For those who went on top of this blob tower I showed you earlier, when you got to the top and you jumped off, you weren't like jumping off half in or 75% in. When you're falling off a high object, you're all in. Gravity's got you. You're going down. You know, you are all in. And it was an exciting end when you hit the pillow. But when you come to following God, God's saying, I don't want most of your heart. I don't want just a little bit of it. I want all of it. All of it to be for God. And when it talks about heart, it's referring to the inner core, the very core of who you are, that everything would be after God. Scott said it earlier that the chief end of man is to glorify him forever. And that whole idea of, God, I just want everything within me to be able to trust you, to be for you, to love you. I love the next part. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Another version translation said, don't always try to figure everything out. Anybody struggle like me sometimes where you try to logically figure everything out? You're in a decision, a life crisis. Maybe it's like a big decision, like where are you going to go to school? Or maybe who are you going to marry? Or maybe it's just a smaller thing. What am I supposed to eat for dinner? I don't know. And then you're just trying to logically sometimes figure it all out. And it's all just based on our own intellect and our reasoning. Right here we see the writer Solomon saying, trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't always try to figure everything out. Ask God. Ask him about his plans. Ask him about what he has. Include him. Another translation of this passage said, as it says, to acknowledge him in everything you do. Another way of saying that, one of the translators said, is to listen to God in everything you do. As you go along your day, as you transition to a new season of life, invite God like a close friend if you're going on a walk and inviting for conversational purposes. You reach some place in the street, you're not sure what to do, you'll probably talk to your friend. When you're in a decision, you're not sure what to do, invite God. Listen, he is ready 24/7, which that's an awesome hotline access, right? 24/7, you can talk with God. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Jesus' little brother, James, wrote this when it talked about needing wisdom. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. I believe I have it on here too. Who gives generously to all without reproach. I love that. If any of you lack wisdom, maybe I'm the only one that lacks wisdom at times, but if anyone can relate to that, you lack wisdom, you can ask of God. And he says he will generously give to you all without reproach. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What it's saying here, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God. God wants to generously give you wisdom, his plans, his ideas, which are good for you. This whole message about trusting God and his plans for you. But when you hear from God, don't doubt what he says. And a lot of times what God says is a lot different than maybe what we were thinking. Maybe some of you have been there before. You're like, this is where I need to go. You listen to God. God's like, this is what I want you to do. He's like, oh God, that's a little bit different than what I want. Well, in this passage, it says, trust what God is telling you. Don't doubt. If God is truth and he puts your Holy Spirit inside of you, which is the spirit of truth, and that's giving you counsel to tell you what to do, then if you deny the spirit of truth, which is the right way for you, you're incredibly unstable. That's what the passage is kind of like. You're on the sea, tossed one way or the other, because you're denying truth. And if that's the only source of truth, then you have no other place to go. And it puts you in a very unstable place. So you don't want to reject what God is giving you if you ask for it. But I love this passage. And maybe some this morning, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He wants to pour it out generously. As we're trusting God all in with our heart, we want to acknowledge him. We want to listen to him. But this requires humility. You'll see that in verse 7 and 8. One more. Requires humility. In James 4:6, it says this. I'm just going to skip to the quote. It says, this is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And the Proverbs passage says, don't be wise in your own eyes. How would you rate yourself on humility right now? And I think if we had to be honest, if we were really thinking about that, I think it's a lot easier always to rate ourselves like better, like, you know, oh, I think I'm really humble, I'm really open. If you want a real estimate of how you're doing with humility, ask God, Lord, how am I doing with humility? Do I invite input from you? Do I invite input from others? Do I seek a multitude of counselors when making the decision? Or do I just make decisions on my own and then blame God when they don't work out well? Right? Just saying it like it is. But right here it says, God shows favor to the humble. We'd like to focus on that, but this passage also says that God opposes the proud. Now, this is the same God who's loving, kind, and caring, but he's also the same God who created the universe. So sometimes we can be in places like, why can't I figure out what I'm doing, or why am I not moving forward? And sometimes we just got some heart issue stuff that God wants to work out. If we got pride, it says you're in direct opposition to God, which I don't know about you, but that's just not like a winning scenario, right? I'm just reading what it says. It said, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So if you find yourself in a place that's like, I don't receive any input, I'm like, God, you are my genie, you serve me, you'll find great resistance. But when we come to a place of saying, Lord, I want to humbly serve you, he'll show you favor. It requires humility. To be all in requires humility. The passage in Proverbs talks about fearing the Lord, and another translation said, run to him and run from evil. Run to God and run from evil. I love how it says run from evil, not just entertain it, or how close can I get to some sin without maybe doing as much as, you know, other people are doing. It's saying pursue God full out and run from evil. And maybe you're struggling with things. You're like, this keeps pulling me away. Run to God. And as you're running to God, you ultimately run from evil. There's blessings on honoring God and following his ways. His ways are a lot higher than our ways, and his ways are a lot better. And I think that's a really good thing, because sometimes we can think we have the best way figured out for our life, but then God shows us what he has. And if he created the whole universe and created you intricately in your mother's womb and knows exactly the design set, the gift set, the passions and desires he's actually given you those, then he knows the best way for you to be able to use that on this planet. The most joy you can have is connecting your gifts to what God has for you while you're on this earth. Trusting God with all your heart, everything within you. Now I want to talk about trusting God with our possessions. So we're talking about the internal, trusting God with our heart. We're all in. Now we're trusting God with our possessions. It talked about with the first, with wealth financially, but also the first fruit of the produce is what the passage was talking about. Most of us, we don't have a bunch of produce or farming. I know there's some farmers in here, but a lot of times we're using financial means, wealth as kind of the way that we buy things and trade things and all that good stuff. I remember when I was in Ecuador in 2005, and I was helping to build a church in South America, and they were, at this one church, they were passing around like an offering plate, and some churches do that in America as well. And as they're passing it around, people were putting in coins, incredibly poor village. And I remember an older lady who was a widow, I found out later, just put it in like one or two actual like chicken eggs into the plate. And it just baffled me. Like, I didn't listen to the message or the music. I just was so fixated. I'm like, there's an egg that just keeps rolling around this metal tray. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, why would you give an egg? I'm like, I don't get that at all. Aren't you supposed to like be giving your best to God? You know, it seems like you're just throwing in, you know, your breakfast. But later on, I found out she didn't have any money. She gave the best that she had. And what she had was that one egg. That was actual food. She gave her very best for God. When it comes to possessions, where would you be at this morning? Do you find yourself wanting to hold your possessions closer than holding Jesus? A great way to know where you're at is if there's something you always think about or want, and if that possession was to be taken away, would you find yourself being like, no, my life is ruined. That thing has so much significance for me. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, it's supposed to be Jesus. you can ask yourself, well, is there something you're holding closer? The Bible uses the word idols. Is there something that you hold higher than God? Is there a possession that you're actually trusting more in? Maybe it's just money itself. God, I just trust in money. There's a security that comes with money, especially more of it. Do I trust in money more than I trust in God? Jesus said this in Matthew. He says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And in our culture, usually the biggest thing about why you want to get a certain job or doing a certain thing is like, how much money can you make? I recently heard of a young guy in his 30s who makes six figures, really high engineering job, that's thinking about leaving it to go to a job that pays half because he wants to go in the ministry. I'm like, that, unfortunately, is very radical. I don't know a lot of people doing that. That would be like, you know what, I'm going to go half my salary so I can promote the gospel in a certain nonprofit. And I'm not saying you have to give up, you know, good jobs for the Lord, but if he did ask you, you cannot serve both God and money. We want to be all in, our heart, all in with our possessions. God is the creator of everything, so if you logically just conclude from that, everything you own is actually God's. So if he's asking for something, it's like, oh, I'm just a steward. I'm just a person, you know, this isn't my home. Heaven's my home. Sure, God, I'll help out someone in need. Sure, I can give that away. Lord, show me. The third thing is trusting God, and this one's like, ooh, could we leave this one out? Trusting God in seasons of discipline, that would be all in. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a season, maybe you're there this morning, that it's just really difficult, it's hard, and God's working something within you. It says that God disciplines us like a son he delights in. God delights in you. You are delightful, as my friend Greg Coles would say. I love that word. You are delightful. God delights in you. It says in Hebrews, I'm going to read a passage about discipline. It says this. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all have had human fathers who discipline us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of Spirit and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Isn't that true? Right? It's just like, yep. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. If you're in a season that's really difficult right now, sometimes you just go through hard stuff and go through hard stuff. I'm not saying I know every single thing that happens. Only God does. But sometimes we're in seasons where God's really wanting to grow us. There's something inside of us that he really wants us to surrender and become more like Christ. One way, and it's not always a guarantee, but one way I've noticed in my life is when I would, instead of complaining and resisting and being mad at God about a season that's difficult, is asking God, Lord, what are you trying to show me right now? How are you trying to grow me? Is there a certain lesson, a certain way that I'm being prideful or not honoring you that you want me to work out? Maybe I'm not loving my neighbor as I should, and I keep judging people. Lord, what are you trying to show me in this season? It's a great way to ask, because God disciplines us because he loves us, because he's more committed to us looking like Christ than we are, which is a good thing, because it's actually the best thing that could happen to us. Trusting God one step at a time, with our heart, that we would be all in, with our possessions, that we'd be all in, and even in seasons of discipline, that we'd be, and I think that's really hard too, is just be all in. We want to trust God and his plans for our lives. And as I was thinking about trusting God with our plans for our life, this is very much like us and God. I was thinking that there's great examples in the Bible of men and women who trusted God in the little things, and then when God called them to go do the great things, they were ready to go because they knew their God. They were able, if this ladder was, you know, God, you know, which it's not, but if it was, they were able to take a step and not just be like, okay, I trust God, but I also got, you know, my foot on the ground, so I don't know. But they're really like all in, you know, all the way up this ladder and higher. They're like, God, I'm banking completely on you. If you don't show up, nothing's going to work out. Someone in the Bible that did this, I think, was awesome, is Noah in the beginning of the Bible, in the Old Testament. God asked him to build an ark, to build a huge boat to house him and his family and a bunch of animals and literally be able to protect them from a flood. Now, they never saw a flood. He never saw rain before. But there's a verse I want to read to you from Genesis 5, verse 22. It says, Noah trusted in God and did 50% all that God commanded him to do. No, it says, and he did all that God commanded him to do. He had such a relationship with God and trusted him that when God said, I want you to design something that's never been designed, I want you to do something that you will be mocked for decades doing, he trusted more in God and the approval of God than the input from people around him. I think of Abram, who was later called Abraham, trusting in God. In Genesis 12, 1-5, God called him out from his hometown. He was where his dad was, where he was used to living with his family. God's like, I want you to go to a place that you've never been, to a place that they do not honor me as God. And I'm going to bless you there. And so, Abram, if you've ever been in this place, or maybe you're in that place right now and you're transitioning to a place you've never been, he trusted in God. And the word that he used is faith. If trust is being able to see things logically and applying it, I think faith is being able to see things, well, trust in things that are unseen. And Abraham had great faith in God that he's like, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to step out. And through him, God blessed millions of people. He's like, I'll make you a blessing to many because of the trust and the faith he had in God. I just want to mention Moses, and then I'll be wrapping up. Moses was another one whose parents had great faith in God, to trust him, even when there was a ruling that, hey, all the Hebrew babies needed to be killed. His parents were like, no, we trust in God more than in the Egyptian leader. And it talked about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he grew up, this is Hebrews 11, 23 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was brought into that family, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And maybe you're in a place of thinking, okay, things are easier this way, but God's calling you to do the hard thing. If God's calling you to do that, I'll encourage you, trust him and trust his plan for you. A couple of thoughts before I get to some questions. We serve a great God, don't we? He is really good. So I know it's like, oh, stepping out of your comfort zone to do things you've never done before for the glory of God. God's just so good, though. So if you know him, it's like, how can I not bring his goodness to a new people group, a campus, a new business, a new family, whatever? Lord, you are good. He is trustworthy. We can trust him with our whole heart, trust him with all our possessions, trust him even in times of discipline. And God calls men and women, back in the Bible, but still today, right here, 2017, us, to trust him, walk in faith, to reach people, to care for people, to love others, not when it's easy, not when it's in our free time, not when all the circumstances are just right, but in order that Jesus might be shared with as many people as possible before he returns or calls us home. If we trust our God and know our God, what things are stirring in your heart? What passions, what ministries, organizations, causes, ways of sharing the gospel that have never been done before, that God has put in your heart, that's just been there, and God wants to give life to? Imagine if the Israelites, if Moses just decided, you know what? I'm just going to hang out in the wilderness for another 40 years. I always think it's interesting. Moses went back to Egypt to lead the whole group of Israelites out of Egypt when he was 80 years old. He spent 40 years waiting in the wilderness. So college students, if you're in a place you don't have a job or something or a spouse, whatever, for a while, just know that God's still doing good stuff in your life. You have not been forgotten. I think Moses coming in at 80, 40 years in the wilderness, doesn't talk a lot about it, but that's a long time. God wants to do things in you in times of waiting. Trust him, but he wants to do things through you. So final questions. This morning, do you know God? Do you trust him? If God was a ladder, are you in a place of really being like, you know, Lord, I am all in. I give you my life. I am basing it all on you. Or maybe you're here and you're just like, I'm at a distance. I'm looking at God. I'm exploring, but might you want to take a step closer? Or maybe for some, you're really close to wanting to know God in a personal way, not just intellectually, and you want to take a step up. You can do that this morning. You can ask God, Lord, I want to know you. God, if you're the Lord and master of all, God, I just want you to be the boss of my life. I want to ask for forgiveness for my sins, the things I've done wrong. And Lord, would you lead me in a way everlasting? You can do that this morning. If you'd like to talk more about that, I'll be up here with some other folks. We'd love to talk more. Question two, is there an area within your life you are not trusting God? So a nice little reflection question. There's sometimes things in our life that it's easier to trust in God with. And other times it's just like, I just want to kind of be the boss of that area of my life. I don't want to surrender that. If you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you in a certain area in your heart, in your life, I would encourage you, surrender that to him today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't even know if tomorrow will be there. Surrender it to him today. Lord, I want you to be Lord 100% of my heart. Surrender that. Is there a possession in your life that you are holding on to closer than Jesus? Is money your God, or is Jesus the God of your heart? If you find that as an issue, Talk with him. Surrender that to him today. Are you despising a season of discipline that God has put you in because he loves you? I know that sounds kind of weird. It's like, no, we're not supposed to have anything hard. Look at Jesus. Look at the Apostle Paul. If you look at their lives, we go through difficult things. God is producing in us some beautiful things. But it usually goes through these crucible moments. If you are despising a season of discipline, I would encourage you to ask for forgiveness and grace to be empowered during that season of growth. God wants to do some good stuff in you. And the last thought I want to give as I'm wrapping up, has God placed a person, a family, a business, a cause, a college, a community, a country on your heart that he keeps bringing up for you to reach out to in love with the hope of Jesus Christ? And the picture I got was all of us just really just listening to the Lord for the unique skill sets and designs that you have in your heart and just being like, you know, God, I want to go radical for you. I want to trust my God, and I want to trust him in a way that his plans might not be plans I've ever seen on this planet before. His ways are higher and not my ways, but Lord, I want to trust you. I want to step out and do that. I want to reach people that nobody's reaching with the gospel by doing things that nobody is doing. I know some of you, I really feel like I put this on my heart to share. I think some of you have those ideas in your heart. And I encourage you, step out, go out, move out, quit the job, go to that country, give generously, pray continually. I don't know. Ask God what he has in your heart. But if there's something stirring there, I encourage you, don't go to the grave with an idea that God's given you that you never gave life to. Step out in faith that many might be able to know Jesus Christ. So I'm going to just wrap up with prayer in a moment. Scott will be introducing communion. And if anyone could just close their eyes, bow their heads, it's just a way of just kind of focusing in. You can pray with your eyes open and your head up, but it's a way of just not being distracted, in case you're wondering. I just want to ask this morning, if you're here and you're realizing, Lord, yeah, I want to be all in for you. Jesus, you were all in for me on the cross. You didn't go halfway to the cross. You went all in for me. And you realize, Lord, I want to be all in for you. And you want, if you had to be honest, it's an area of my life that, I've been holding back. But Lord, I want to give that to you this morning and surrender it to Jesus. I didn't want to pray for you, and with no one looking around, if you just want to raise your hand and saying, yeah, I want to be all in for God, there's something in my life, just raise your hand. My hand's up because I realize I'm not all in certain areas. I want to be all in for God. So just raise up your hand right now, just signifying this is a heart decision. The hand doesn't make the decision. It's your heart saying, I want in, and I want it for Jesus. Awesome. There's hands all over the place. You can put your hands down. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for being all in for us, God. Thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. Thank you, God, for doing what was incredibly difficult and leaving your home in heaven and coming to earth that you created to die as a man for us. God, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters, for us, including me, Lord. God, I pray that we would be all in for you. God, that we would go all in, that we would trust you more than anything, God. We would trust you more than we trust ourselves. We would trust you more than we trust our possessions, God. We would trust you more than the circumstances that we're in. And God, that we would trust your plans. And Lord, I pray that many here, God, would just be equipped with a passion and a fuel and a desire for you. And God, reaching out, God, I pray for new ministries to happen, Lord, out of those who are here, God, that could just spring up and that many could come to know the love of Jesus. In your powerful and wonderful name, amen.